not just now and then. Give that chicken fat back to the chicken, and don't be chicken again. No, don't be chicken again.
Where does this stuff come from?
Push up. Michael Markson?
Morning, 10 times push up, starting low.
He hates me.
Once more on the rise, nuts.
Kelly of Cuxley.
Cux
something.
Go, you chicken fat, go.
Cuxacky.
That's not good.
Kelly of Cuxacky. Mark Markson.
Now then, touch your toes with me. Ready. Touchdown. Up.
Every morning.
Down. 10 times.
Not just.
This is our new workout song. We're replacing like a Christian.
No. I feel like I'm in a musical.
And that's quite enough of that.
I'm making the big musical number. The big musical number of Two Blind Squirrels. Go, you chicken fat, go.
Rolling down the freeway with a rag top down. I got a shuffle on the radio with rat face sound. I got two blind squirrels in the morning, two blind squirrels at night. Oh yeah, two blind squirrels in the morning. Radio on demand, it's all right.
And on today's show, we're going to discuss those nasty Nickelodeons. Nickelodeons. Nickelodeons, did I say it right?
Nickelodeons.
Nickelodeons.
Nickelodeon.
Two blind squirrels in the morning, people radio on demand, it's all right.
Oh. So look, so the Nickelodeons.
So now you're going to stamp your name all over stuff? Is this what you're going to do?
Yeah, I brought my stamp home, my signature stamp.
Yeah, you know what? You know how long you've had that?
Ever.
Do you know?
I got that at LSI.
No.
No, before
I
LSI?
I think that came from Accubank.
GTE? Accubank? Oh, yeah, Accubank. Yeah,
you know why? Accubank. Because I think I ordered it.
Did you order that for me, Accubank?
I think I did. Unless it came from LSI, I would have ordered it then, too.
No, it was before that.
I think it was from Accubank.
Yep. Because I had to stamp all the letters.
What? No, you didn't. You just signed your name. And then you send it to the thing, and they make you a stamp.
No, I know. That's what I said.
What do you mean you had to stamp all the letters?
With this.
Oh, you mean all the collection letters.
Well, no, they weren't collection letters. They were...
Loan servicing letters. I mean, no.
Yeah, they were like, you know, workout letters.
Yeah, workout letters. That's what they were called.
You know, to this day, these people that I service, these 23 people that I'm responsible for maintaining the databases of,
mm-hmm.
They have these thing called write-off recovery, mm-hmm. and they're W-O...
Workout.
And I read them workout. Yeah, you can't change that.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like trying to read the word cat as, you know, pig. Yeah. You just can't do it.
And you know, I still, you know, when you work in mortgage banking, I don't know.
Nobody knows what we're talking about right now.
Well, whatever. When you work in mortgage banking yes. and all that, you like, and you take messages, you know, and you do collection calls, you do shorthand all the time. So you're like, you're abbreviating everything. And I still to this day will write message to myself, LMTC. Left message to call. Like I will go LMTC, left message to call.
Well, when I'm Twittering or texting somebody, father-in-law is still FIL, mother-in-law is still MIL.
Yep. I mean, you break it down and everybody in the business knows what it all
means.
We
all know. We already know. We all had our own little codes. And
oh, boy. Ugh. Yep. I don't want to go back to that.
And there were codes that, you know, you didn't discuss out loud.
Yeah.
you put, you didn't put deadbeat. You just put DT.
Yeah. So
debtor,
Brett.
It standard for something like debtor. I don't remember. It was like non-responsive, but it was something debtor something, and that meant deadbeat. You know, it was really,
meant
deadbeat.
Yeah, it really. Well, everybody knew. Yeah, because you'd have to type it in.
Yeah.
You know, and you'd have all these abbreviations.
And it was an early form of Twitter because you only had like 140 characters.
Well, yeah,
because
you had like three lines and you had to like shorten, took every vowel out you could.
That's probably what Twitter is. They probably bought like LSAMs
or
something.
They bought CPI.
They're using that.
Got computer power incorporated. They have some green screen system.
They just updated the monitor.
Those were the days. You know what? I had a little guy.
What?
I had a little guy. I don't know. What was his name?
Who?
What was that little guy you had on my cubicle?
I have no idea.
Well, Brad made this little. He was on the other. We were at the end.
Yorick was a little skull.
No, not Yorick. He was the.
Alas, poor Yorick. I knew him well. She still cracks up over that. I had a little plastic skull, and
I mean, set it up on the because see,
I mean, it was tiny. It was like the size
company,
of your.
Our company your went pinky. Ergonomically correct and decided that all management needed to be among the minions.
The minions,
and so Brad.
So I didn't have an office.
Brad didn't have an office, so he
sat out of the cubicles.
We were both in the back. We had windows, but we didn't have offices. Yeah. So we shared a wall, and they were not tall offices. They were short, so when you stood up, you could talk to the person, right? Mm-hmm. So he had this little,
and which was really bad because we were on the phone all the time.
Yeah, it was very loud and very distracting.
Yeah, it was.
And anyway, he had paper clips that he'd like drilled through the cloth cubicle wall, mm-hmm. and then he had this little guy on my side that he had attached to another
paper clip,
and then he would wave at me like from his side. Well, he could turn it on his side of the wall.
And I taped a little arm on
it. A little arm, and he would turn it on his side of the wall, and it would wave at me. I swear to you,
it was sick. Yeah, we almost got. We should have got fired.
Oh man, we were dumb. We were dumb and in love.
Dumb and in love.
We're still in love, but maybe we're not so dumb.
I don't know about all that. So,
you could still make me one of those. It'd be funny.
Okay.
Little guy wave at me.
We'd put it through the sheetrock.
You know what I found?
Like I said, in my
desk. Please don't put any holes in my wall.
Do it to you in the kitchen.
No.
Okay.
No. The standard.
Yeah, you found that?
I found the standard.
Well, you have to explain what it is.
No, you have to because you're the one who made it up.
I have no idea what it is. It was a little metal thing.
It was the top of an old gas.
I don't think that's what it was. What's his name said it was. Al. Ooh. That's what Al said it was.
Well, Al knows.
But if that was true, it had threads, so it would have unscrewed all the time.
It didn't have threads. You set it on there.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't know.
It didn't have threads. You didn't twist
it. It was this metal thing. It was very heavy.
And it said the standard
on it.
It
was about 3 inches.
Standard oil or whatever it was.
Yeah, it wasn't like the American standard, but anyway, it was like 3 inches tall and about 2 inches wide, and it was like a knob or a handle or something. It was mm-hmm. flat. Mm-hmm. It looked like a key is what it looked like.
But it wasn't.
And it had a hole in one end where there were threads, and so...
There was not threads.
Whatever, there was a hole there. And so I wrote like this note about, you know, praying for you and, you know, blessings be upon you and all this kind of stuff. And it was basically saying, hey, I'm praying for you and be encouraged.
During this hard time.
Yeah. And then I rolled it up and I stuck it in the...
And it was so small you could barely read it.
And I stuck it in the end of the key thing, standard thing. And then when everybody was having a hard time, we would give the standard to them. Mm-hmm. And they would carry it around. And they're responsible for when they got to feeling better, they were responsible to give it to somebody else. Mm-hmm. And this went on for years, mm-hmm. through several jobs.
Mm-hmm. So, and it's in the drawer now.
Still in the drawer. So, because when I got fired, it was given to me. That was the last time it was used.
And then we got put away.
All right.
That was the end of it. Sorry, all that commiserating.
So let's
not
get
commiserating. That's bad things.
Right. What do you call that?
Commemorating?
Memorabilia? Reminiscing.
Reminiscing.
Thank you. I knew I'd think of it.
Okay.
So let's talk about the Nicolaitans.
Okay.
In this is very interesting. In Revelation 2:6, it says, mm-hmm. he's going through the churches, right? And he's talking mm-hmm. to the church of Ephesus, and he's giving mm-hmm. him some advice. But he also mentions this weird little thing where he says, but this thou hast, that you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans. And the Nicolaitans. Yeah, something like that.
Which I also hate.
Now, but that's all it says. And you're like, well.
Why I have to conquer the laity or the people.
Right. Okay. Well, hold on. We're going to get there. And then down in, when he's talking to the church of Pergamos. In Revelations 2:14-16, he goes into a little more detail. He says, but I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam. And we know who Balaam is from the Old Testament, who taught Balak to cast stumbling blocks before the children of Israel. And basically, this was somebody who prophesied for money. Mm-hmm. Okay. And so we know what his philosophy was. And so, you know, we kind of know that. And then it says to eat things sacrificed unto idols and to commit fornication. And then he says, so have you thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. Now, that's pretty strong words when Jesus says, I hate it. Mm-hmm. This is the only time where I've ever seen Jesus say, I hate something.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, maybe he did somewhere else, but I don't know where it is. It says, repent or else I will come to you quickly and will fight against you with the sword of my mouth. So I thought if Jesus is going to use these stronger words, we ought to at least know what this thing is. And it come to find out. So, and I'd heard there's basically two theories. All scholars agree that it has something to do with the laity. Okay.
Mine says, divided the church between priest and layman.
Right. And that's one theory. Okay. That's the theory.
That was Dave, what's his name when we listened to?
Remember? Yeah. The seven.
Who was that?
Dave, I don't remember. So he walked through all of the churches. It was very helpful.
Churches. Yeah.
So that's one theory that it was the laity versus priesthood, and the priesthood dominated the laity, and Jesus didn't like that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's hard to get there just from that. What we do know is that the word Nicolaitans relates to the laity, and we know that. So this is sort of an assumption on their part. Well, there's another assumption.
Okay.
The other assumption has to do more with the laity itself, and the practice of allowing the laity. And this has history in the Old Testament. It goes back to the Levites. The Levites and the Zadoks, I think, were the basically the chosen people to be priests or whatever. And the problem with the Levites was that they actually would do whatever the people wanted.
Mm-hmm.
If the people wanted, you know, rain, like, you know, go pray for rain for us. We need rain. They would go pray for rain. And the Zadoks were like, no, we need to repent. We're suffering because we need to repent. And, you know, so the Zadoks look more of it as serving God and passing on prophecy from God. Levites were more tended to be they were trying to make the people happy. So what the Lord did was actually, he chose the Levites to serve the people at the temple, and he chose the Zadoks to serve him.
Okay.
So there's like two different little classes of priests there. Well, the thing about it is the Nicolaitans, mm-hmm. the same word that in Greek is the Nicolaitans, also relates to the Levites in the Hebrew.
Hmm.
I mean, well, I'm sorry, which is laity.
The word laity.
Uh-huh. Which is where it supposedly is where it comes from. Well, this leads to an interesting thing. Okay, like an interesting kind of other theory about this.
Okay.
We know that the Nicolaitans have something to do with laity and a different class, but what if they got it back? But what if it was backwards from this philosophy that we've heard before?
Okay.
And that is that it was actually the laity that was telling the priests what to do, that they were electing priests and telling them what to do. You know, like, so you know, you get a church together.
Well, mine says the people are conquering the laity.
Right. And the laity is the lay people, right?
Well, so why would that doesn't make any sense?
So let's say you get a church together.
Hmm.
The laity is the layman, right?
Right.
Okay. So let's say you get a church together and you go out to get a pastor. You say, well, we want to pick a pastor. Mm-hmm. So you pick a pastor.
Right.
And you say, okay, you're going to be our pastor. Mm-hmm. We've all voted and we like you. You're going to be our pastor.
Right.
We approve of you.
Okay.
And so the pastor starts doing some things that the church is like, well, but that's not what we do. No. That's not what we do. We're going to fire you. We're going to bring somebody else in.
Right.
And so... And so then they bring somebody else in, and I'm making a point because I belong to a church that's very, you know, dangerously close to these things. So then they bring somebody else in, and okay, this is the way we like to run our church. Are you okay with that? Okay, well then you can be our pastor. So we all vote, we agree. Okay, you be our pastor, and then he starts, you know, doing some things, and you're like, oh, we don't want that. We want to do it the old way. You know, no, this way.
Yeah, but the Lord wants to do this.
But the Lord, I've written in the Bible, and the Bible says this actually happened. Okay, this actually happened in my church. The Bible says that I've been really studying this passage in the Bible, and I don't think it means divorced people can't be deacons. I mean, you know, I don't think that's what that passage means with one husband of one wife. I don't think that's what the Bible is talking about there. And, well, we don't care. We want it to be that way. And if you don't like it, we'll get another pastor to come teach us. Or, you know, actually, they don't have to do that because the way our constitution setups in the church is the pastor has no.
He doesn't vote in the deacons. Anyway.
So
yeah.
The deacons decide who's on the deacon list. So
a little bit too much power for their own good.
Well, and that's what That's what this guy. That's what this guy was saying, and that it is a that and it's democracy.
Mm-hmm.
It's leading the law by the people. Whatever the people say is the law. Okay,
well, what do the people
that's
know?
Democracy. We in America
are
not supposed to have a democracy. We're supposed to have a republic, a representative government ruled by the law. Okay, that means the law that has been set down by God, inalienable rights. Those things are supposed to govern us, and that's what the Republican Party was kind of supposed to be about. Doesn't really fit anymore.
They've been talking a lot about getting back to their grassroots. Have you heard that?
Is that
after
what it's
they
all about?
Lost? This is their big thing.
I don't want to get into politics.
I'm not getting into politics. I'm just saying I find that very interesting.
It is very interesting. But and then the Democrats, their kind of goal or their kind of reason why they kind of started was to be more democracy, where the rule of the people
right.
get to, you know, the majority rules kind of thing. Well, the problem with democracies is one thing: God hates it. Or well, and this is speculation. If that's what this is talking about,
right.
then God's not against it. It's not the kind of God. It's not the kind of government that God set up for His church, certainly, and that His law is supposed to be enforced. You know, by the people in power, but and then everybody's supposed to be represented.
Mm-hmm.
So we, you know, and that kind of makes sense to me. And the reason why the Continental Congress set up the way they did. So anyway, I thought that was interesting. And a lot of people think we live in a democracy, and we may be moving towards it.
But we're not supposed to be.
But we're not supposed to be in a democracy. We're supposed to be a republic.
Ruled but by most law. People think we do. That's what they'll say if you ask what form of government.
I think that's a very good point. It's like, what kind of form of government do you want? Do you want a democracy or do you want a republic? And I think democracies are dangerous because you can get enough people to hate the Jews and vote them all into concentration camps.
Right.
Or hate babies and vote them all into
death.
Death. There we go again. It always comes back to abortion, doesn't it? With
yep.
me. All right. Well, that's all I got.
All right.
Give us a faith builder for today. Faith.
Okay. You want
Give us a faith
builder?
Faith.
Where to go?
Unless you want to hear this song again.
No, I don't.
Hurry. Hurry up.
1 John 3:1. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called
yes.
children
yes.
of God, and that is what we are.
Do you know
the
that,
reason the world does not know us is that it did not know Him.
You know what the message says?
Hmm.
The message version of that?
What?
Hold up, wait a minute, put a little love in it.
That's right. That's my interpretation of that scripture. There you go.
All righty.
Well, anyway, maybe you found a little, I don't know. It's, you know, it's nobody really knows what that thing means, but, you know, that's what we're in. Say vios con Dios,
Faith. Vios con Dios.
We will see you tomorrow. Tomorrow is Wednesday, and we're going to have lots of calls. We have lots of calls to catch up on from you guys. I really appreciate you calling in, and we don't want to put those off. We've just had a lot to say. A lot I had to get out. So, yeah, tomorrow and probably the next day, you. All about you.
Two blind squares, they're gooder than pie.
This show was sponsored by the grace of Jesus Christ. If you'd like to have your life sponsored by the Creator of the universe, then go to a Bible near you and turn to Romans 3:23, where it says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." But what does this mean? It means that before a holy and perfect God, we are all broken. If you know this to be true, then you must admit that you are a sinner. Sin separates us from God and prevents us from being in His presence. Now, once you've admitted you are a sinner, you must be willing to turn from sin. In Romans 6:23, it says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord." So how do we become right with God? We need a way to be forgiven for our sins, and that way is through the sacrifice and raising up of Jesus Christ. In Romans 5:8, it says, "But God demonstrates His own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Through prayer, invite Jesus into your life to become your personal Savior. It says in Romans 10:10, "For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved." It also says in Romans 10:13, "For whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." If you know these things in your heart, then here's an example of what you might pray. Dear God, I am a sinner, and I need forgiveness. I believe that Jesus Christ shed his blood and died for my sin. I'm willing to turn from sin, and I ask Jesus to come into my heart and my life as my personal Savior. Open yourself up to the infinite grace of God, and it will change your life for eternity. This offer is non-refundable. Valid in all states. No further purchase is necessary.